over quality. Yes. Is the name of the game.
Welcome to not yet phoning it in.
Are we recording?
Yeah, we are.
Good.
It's, you know, this is part of the marathon cahoots.
Yeah. So judge us by marathon standards.
Yeah.
Or don't.
I mean, just do whatever you want, really. I mean, we're going to try and do our best here, but we want to
keep bringing that Kahoot material.
Yeah, you know.
Make you hoot.
Just, yeah. Make you think about movies that don't exist and whether or not they'd be fun.
Hell, yeah.
I'm Ben, by the way.
I'm Kate.
Thanks for listening.
Yes. Oh, so the first one is, well, do it.
Yeah.
Should we just dive in?
Why not? I don't know. I mean, we were talking about ordering food.
Yeah, but then just ate, quesadilla? No, it's
corn. A molita.
Molita.
Which, if you're not, if you don't live in Los Angeles, I don't know if it's a traditional thing or not in Mexican food, but it's common in Los Angeles in taco trucks and stuff. A molita is like a quesadilla, but made with corn tortillas, which are usually, you know, smaller, as they're used for like traditional, like the tacos, like the little tacos, you know? So you
love
do that.
Corn tortillas.
And the trick is you make it like a quesadilla, like two tortillas with cheese and milk, and then you pull them apart and you sort of eat them like little
and
cheese
you,
tacos.
The other, like, you're missing another huge, or you didn't mention another huge part of it, which is that it's just drenched in butter because you put a lot of butter in
yeah,
the pan.
Yeah, I do that. That's how I do it, yeah.
So that the corn tortilla like crisps up.
That's the goal.
And then it's so good. And then it's like a kind of nacho-y. It's like a giant nacho.
Yeah, I mean, if you get it at a taco truck, you're gonna get like meat in there too.
Ooh.
I mean, it's
like al pastor.
Oh yeah. I mean, if we marathon long enough, we could go to Taco Zone, which is my favorite taco truck, and you could get like some legit ones. But that's a whole
Taco Zone.
Taco Zone.
That's
it's a funny
like
name.
That reminds me of Chapo talking about being in Berlin and pizza, laser pizza, and
oh yeah.
Anyway.
Foreign names for things are great.
Yeah, you gotta love like the Asian vendors and stuff that are like,
oh yeah,
photo smile and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, I mean, Japan's just full of that stuff. It's great.
All right, so
we were talking about food delivery. One of us said deliverables, the deliverables. It probably needs the I think in
yeah.
this case, because that's what makes it funny. Because it kind of sounds like the Expendables then.
Yep.
So the deliverables. I don't know. What is it? What do you got? You got anything?
I mean, okay. So right off the bat, what I thought about is you do a movie that tonally and thematically is like Burn After Reading, where you have all, and I don't know where it's set, so we'll figure that out. But you're like shooting footage, like, because you know you call footage deliverables, like something that is right, that's like ready to go.
Yeah.
So, but I just love this idea of like, yeah, like there's an expectation that someone has footage or audio or something that's somehow like going to be like, it's highly controversial or it's going to like be this huge story or something. And it's all about getting the deliverables. And then at the end, you have that sort of J.K. Simmons moment where he's just like, oh, well, that was fucked up, and closes the folder. And I was just like,
yeah, well, like, yeah, like that. And then I'll see if this, like I heard a story on Twitter many years ago. I want to say it was director Joseph Kahn that told the story. And I believe the story had something to do with, like, back when HD video was still shot on tapes. I don't know if you were
had to
deal with that. But, like, yeah, when it was, like, HD cam tapes or something, I want to say, and that they had, a runner taking the tapes back to the edit house, like, in, you know, mid-shoot, like, to, you know, it was, like, a commercial shoot or something, and that he took the subway instead of, like, whatever, and that, like, the metal detectors in the subway, like, magnetically erased the footage from the tapes.
That sounds like a urban legend.
I can't remember the full detail, but it was something like, it was like going through some sort of scanner with these particular tapes that just like, it just, you know, like magnets fuck up electronics and stuff like that or something. And it's like, but something akin to that kind of a thing where it's like a sort of madcap, you know, it's like the, like, whereas like in a Hitchcock movie, it would have been like the microfiche or something, you know, that like that, but it's like, yeah, it's like a, music video shoot. It's like Beyonce's new video, and like the PA that gets assigned to like take the to carry the deliverables. Yeah, because I remember in like the making of, I think it was like
funny.
The Two Towers, Lord of the Rings, which I always almost call the Twin Towers, which is a terrible thing. But like on the making of that, there was a thing where they had the finished film on an iPod, like using the iPod as a hard drive thing. And so like the PA who had to walk across like London or wherever they were, New Zealand or Wellington, like with the finished Lord of the Rings film in his pocket on an iPod, because they didn't want to be like, you know, like have it be like some ostentatious big thing. But it was like the fear was that he was going to get mugged and have his iPod stolen. And it's like, yeah, like that kind of thing. Like you've got something very important deliverable. You're just some kid. This is your first job. You try not to fuck up. And, you know, back in the day, it would have been like Michael Cera or something like that. I don't know who the person is now, but like the kid that loses the footage for Beyonce's new video and then spends the rest of sort of like Babysitter's Club type, or not Babysitter's Club, Adventures of Babysitting is what I meant to say.
I mean, so that's a version of it. But I mean, even going back to like making this more of something that ties into like espionage and stuff. I mean, mm-hmm. Burn After Reading did it so well. So I don't know how you do this movie without just being Burn After Reading, like a B version, D version of that movie, because mm-hmm. it's just so good.
It's one of my favorites.
But yeah, I don't know. There could be like a really funny, I mean, all that kind of like Lost in Translation stuff that I just love. I mean, it's so good. So even having like this, I mean, especially in the crazy world we live in now. I mean, maybe it's just that we live this, so it wouldn't be as entertaining, but it's like the idea that there's some sort of deliverable that has some sort of promise to be like, I mean, just like look at the Mueller report, like fiasco. It's just like all these people leading up being like, this is going to change everything. And it did nothing. And it's like, so mm-hmm. some kind of, I don't know, some version of that. Again, it's like we live this. So I don't know. Maybe I'm totally off. But like, yeah, you know, so this deliverable, this tape, this video, this CD, this whatever is going to be the thing that changes all of history and makes, you know, what the North Korean treaty or something. I don't know. Like, and then it just,
I know what it
yeah.
is.
What, go.
It's okay. So I think, it's an old farce thing, but I want to say it was in, What's Up Doc, the like where there's like with, multiple suitcases that look
Streisand?
Identical. Yeah. And it's like, you know, like the one case, the case has diamonds in it, but somebody else has the same suitcase and the things. And so it's what it's a combination of both our ideas. It's the sort of like, you know, I don't know how WikiLeaks fits into it, but it's basically like somebody has the Russia P tape, or they think they do, on like a little hard drive thing. And there's also the PA that has like, but it wouldn't be Beyonce. It would be somebody like really lame. Like it would be like, you know, some music video for somebody really lame, because you want like different kinds of characters involved. So it's like two people that have these, they happen to have the same, like, you know,
Samsonite.
But it's like a pot. Like somehow they bump into each other in the subway or something. They drop the things. They end up with the wrong deliverables. And it's like this sort of like madcap fiasco of one is like footage from a stupid music video, and the other is like the footage of the compromise that like is supposed to take down the president or whatever. And it's just like, and then so there's different factions trying to get each of the things. And so like, it's just like a sort of, I think, is it What's Up Doc? Is that the right movie I'm thinking of? The like car chase in San Francisco movie? I don't know. Whatever.
I mean, I worked on that movie Premium Rush, which had a version of this where...
That's true. Where, I never saw it, but I think that is part of it.
Well, like, Joseph Gordon-Levitt had to, you know, pick up something up by Columbia. It's actually an interesting film. It's one of those rare examples of a film that actually happens in real time.
Oh, yeah?
So, like,
I didn't know that.
Like, the entire script happens in about 2 hours, and the entire movie happens in 2 hours, mm-hmm. really. But yeah, he picks up a thing at Columbia University, and it's literally him riding a bike down to like the bottom of Manhattan.
And that's the whole thing takes place on the course of that?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, then it would
and
be
then
something like that. Yeah.
Michael Shannon's like, he wants that package.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
he's like cutting him off at every turn. And, you know, people show up on the trip and cut him off and whatever. So yeah,
Yes, it is What's Up, Doc. Yeah, but it's four of, I accidentally mix up a four identical plaid overnight bags leads to a series of increasingly wild and wacky situations, says IMDb. So yeah, it would be like that plus Premium Rush, but like bit like funny. Like you'd want it to be like multiple things, and like there's like Russian mafia people after the one guy, but they end up with the music video footage and the thing, and then you like the pop stars like entourage people are pissed because the video was supposed to premiere that day, and there's a thing, and so you like all these different characters sort of wrapped up in this like overlapping thing all about the various deliverables and how these, you know, people fucked up, and but then somehow it all comes together and like, you know, and it all ends with Trump getting taken down, right?
And that's it. That's all.
It's just a fantasy.
That's all. Yeah.
Something like
all
that.
All right, so that's my first thought of deliverables. What do you got?
There could be also a comedy about weed delivery drivers.
Uh-huh.
And some, I don't know what the, I mean, we have a lot of these like workplace rivalry pitches we do where it's like, you know, this group of people against these, the other things, but I don't think it necessarily has to be like two weed delivery drivers trying to outdo each other, cause we do that kind of thing a lot, but like, I don't know, something to do with weed delivery drivers and really like, cause you'd be combining delivery and edibles, I guess, is sort of where the pun on that one comes from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it would be a service that like a bakery, like an edible service that has a delivery. This is called deliverables or something. I don't know.
But that like has a good. It's so close that like it does make you think of edible.
Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, that would be a cute name if you had like the sort of mom and pop edible bakery, you know, like cookies and brownies and shit like that. And it was called deliverables, and you just they bake them all themselves and they drive them over to you and stuff. And so some kind of like. I don't know if it's like a You've Got Mail type of situation, like where there's like the little company fighting against the bigger company or something. Like,
ooh, yeah, because you could have some fun. You could have some fun. I have a good friend who works in the weed industry.
Oh, yeah.
And she talks a lot about like so many of these brands that are popping up are, you know, they're just like white label brands. So it's like there's mm-hmm. only like a couple people that actually make the product.
Yeah,
and then, just like any other thing. But, yeah, you could have, maybe they actually make their stuff. And so it's like,
yeah,
sort of unraveling or unpacking the big guys.
Yeah, it would be like a cute sort of like in, I mean, I just watched Fleabag the other day. And so there's like, you know, like the whole plot of that is like her and her best friend opened that little cafe or whatever. And it's like, yeah, it's like two girls that bake, you know, weed brownies and cookies and they do the deliveries themselves. And then, you know, they're up against like the bro-y, you know, like VC funded, like, the douchebag guys that like don't even like weed, but they're just there to like, they're like Venice Beach guys that just want to make money off of the weed industry. And so it's like you get that sort of.
Yeah. This mom and pop place actually checks to see if you have back pain. Like they care. They really care. That's like, yeah, going back to needing a card.
But. Yeah. Or they have Paul Rudd is like their grower guy in Humboldt that they specifically get the stuff from. And it's like, you know, I don't know. Michael Shannon plays the bro-y, the rival, you know, cannabis, you know, like
just total side note since we've mentioned him twice now. Did mm-hmm. you ever watch him read that sorority letter?
I think I did.
It went
by. I'm pretty sure I did.
So funny. Anyway,
he's great.
He's so good. He's has such a crazy face.
He's in a movie that we like almost
Shape of Water.
Oh God, don't make me do it. No, he's in a movie that almost is like a Cahoots movie that I don't remember what it's like a Christmas movie. It's like a TV Christmas movie. I don't even know like how it was one of those things that like, it's like how everyone's like, how did this even happen?
Mm-hmm.
But it was like a furry, like a Bigfoot and furry thing, like a plot about a small town where they're trying to like fake a Bigfoot sighting, but then it has something to do with like furries or something. It's a really goofy, movie that I'm going to try and find the name of right now. Yeah, it's called Pottersville. Maynard is a beloved local businessman who is mistaken for the legendary Bigfoot during an inebriated romp. And read the last sentence for me.
Through a town in a makeshift gorilla costume.
And it's like just some goofy, weird, low-budget TV
and
movie.
And Christina Hendricks, though. Like, and Judy Greer.
Yeah, it has like a good cast. It sounds really fun. I think a friend of mine
and
watched
Ian McShane.
It. This is one of these, like, what everyone was like, what the fuck is this? I don't know if it's available streaming. I should probably watch it. I've got all these flights coming up. I should download it on my iPad and like take some edibles on a flight and just go to town on that thing.
Wow. I mean, the cover art here is fantastic.
This seems like something we would have made up.
Yeah. Comes in at a whopping 5.3 out of 10. Not that that even matters, but...
I don't think it was... Yeah, I think it was maybe one of those ones that was made to be theatrical and then didn't or something. I mean, if we would have done it, the title would have been better than Pottersville. That seems like that was probably a compromise title. Because it...
I feel like I come across this movie before. I just don't remember.
It was passed around
on
the internet, it was 2 years ago or something like that. It's just funny. It's just something I wanted to call out so that people who, in case you forgot about this movie, because I certainly did. Now I'm reinvigorated to try and watch it because I'll watch Michael Shannon in anything. Hell, I'll watch Christina Hendricks in anything. I'll watch Judy Greer in anything. So, and Ian McShane is in everything, so it's easy to do.
I gotta look and see who made this because I definitely had someone say like, "Oh, this movie I'm a part of," and I can't remember who it was.
But I think it's like I think there's a furry component to it. Like one of the women is like a furry, and he ends up I don't know.
That's so funny.
Ron Perlman, Jesus.
I've got another idea
for deliverables.
Yeah,
what do you got?
So I don't. All I know is the genre and a vague concept, definitely sci-fi and definitely a bunch of women having babies.
Oh, like in space or something? Or like in a...
But they're just delivered. They have the deliverables.
Yeah, I mean, that is another, if we're covering like what delivery counts as in every possible definition of it.
Yeah.
Delivery.
So no, because so it's like, I don't know, maybe it's some sort of...
we've already done midwives, haven't we? That was Motorcycle Milk had a midwife.
Yeah, no, so maybe this is like a... I never saw the Giver adaptation movie, but I love the book. And, same. You know, like the kind of idea of that you become... You get labeled as like a you're going to be one of the surrogate ladies that populates this... dystopia.
Oh, you mean it's like a thing where like in this future thing like only like they've scientifically figured out who the people who can actually carry babies to term in this sort of like
maybe
and
yeah
then, so it's
and
like,
it's like
you could genetically
so
test it
about,
as a child and it's like if you're one of like 1 out of 100 women can actually carry a baby to term in this like dystopian future, so it's like you are labeled as somebody who you are gonna just have babies in order to keep the population, so there's like a certain sector something I just don't make.
Yeah, well,
up.
That would be you that would be your deliverable.
Yeah,
you are deliverable.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know if it's based around like those the women sort of, organizing and forming a union to strike, or I don't know. I'm not sure exactly what the plot of it is, but.
Well, because this is the dumbest question I've ever asked in this podcast. What is the plot of Handmaid's Tale again? It's not that the rich women can't have babies, right? They just don't want to, or they can't?
I don't remember that specific detail, but I want to say... I can't remember that specific detail. If it's that some of them... can and just or that they choose not to, I don't remember
because
it might be that they
Handmaid's Tale and not realized it.
Well, it might. I know, and I thought about it as we were talking about it. It might be that I can't remember if it's that they're unable or if it's that it's just sort of below them or something, so that it's more of a class thing. I can't remember, but I want to say it's like they want, because the Elizabeth Moss character, when she, like, when the house that she belongs to and is owned by, when that woman's husband, she's Joseph Fiennes, I guess.
Yeah.
I want to say.
This is the best part of this is the best thing we've ever done on the podcast, is both of us try to remember the exact plot of, an enormously famous and successful TV show. Which, did you watch it? I mean.
Yeah.
You know,
I watched the first season.
I stopped because the election was happening and I was just like, it was just all becoming real and I just.
Yeah, I mean, it's just torn from. It's just torn from the pages of Mike Pence's dream journal.
Mm-hmm. No, exactly.
But it,
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, second American Civil War, where totalitarian society subjects fertile women called handmaids into childbearing servitude. Okay, so deliverables can't be that in a serious way, but it could be a Handmaid's Tale spoof. That you're right. It's about like some you do that, but it's like funny in some way.
Well, I mean, you know, like in The Giver, it's not about. It's not that everyone can't reproduce. It's that everyone. You have all these, I don't know if you remember this, but like you every night you have to share with your parents and your family. And part of what, you know, you're following Jonas, and part of his thing is that like he is starting to go through puberty and starts talking about like, you know, fantasizing about this girl.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then they start having him take these pills that suppress that. So it's like, it's not that like everybody can populate and like reproduce, I should say. What? what, Kate? No, everyone can reproduce. It's just that they, you know, they identify people as being basically like, you know, ovens. And then, so it could be more of that kind of thing where it's less about like what's possible and more about just, you know, the hand up here declaring like what the rules of the world are. But
yeah,
I mean, or, yeah, it could be comedic in tone, or it could be like a little bit Children of Men, where it's like, oh my God, no one can have kids, but then suddenly these three women can, or something, or I don't know. You could tie it to like if it's three sisters, but then they're like the only people. Like it could become a science fiction film about genes, about like, you know, these three women for some reason because they're related and they share DNA, like they share DNA that. Still,
it's like Andromeda Strain or something like that, where it's like, yeah, for some chemical reason that people don't understand at first, like,
yeah, I don't know, just had to go there with the
no. I mean, I don't, I mean, I would, as far as the, I mean, I think we've done midwife stuff before, but the deliverables does also sound like a funny name for a like a team,
like a birthing clinic or something,
yeah, but it's like a, you know, again, it's like.
No, it's literally Scrubs, but with like midwives.
Yeah, yeah, they're like the funny midwife group that you like, you know, like that you they have the deliverables.com is like, you know, they like they come to, you know, it's like the sort of like fun, funny version of that isn't like.
No, but you could literally do Scrubs, and you could riff on the. I mean, Scrubs, so brilliantly make the way they make fun of surgeons, the way they make fun of different. So it's like, oh, she's like. An OBGYN and the rest of us are just midwives.
Yeah, it's like the, yeah, like the, where they, there's like a sort of like, you know, underclass aspect to them, yeah. And it's funny and they just call themselves that. It's not like, yeah, exactly. That's a TV show.
Yeah. I mean, like it's Scrubs, but just a different.
I never really watched Scrubs.
Oh, it's really funny.
I mean, I've seen enough to know that it is and that people like it and stuff, but yeah, again, you could have a, like an NBC sitcom about midwives called The Deliverables is funny. You could picture that.
Yeah.
Judy Greer could be on it.
She would kill. Was she on... No. Well, I was going to say, she may have, like... Because also, another TV show in this world is, like, Children's Hospital.
Sure, yeah. That's a funny show.
Yeah. Same kind of tone-ish.
But, like, yeah, because the Children's Hospital is, like, the super wacky, like, silly version of it. So, yeah, like, an Adult Swim show, a wacky midwife show called The Deliverables.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, then you get to have all those Expendables jokes in there, because it could be, like, yeah, you riff on that part of it that sounds so similar.
Yeah, like, it's, like, yeah, like, they sort of, like, present it like the midwives are, like, an action hero team.
Yeah.
And they just, like, they show up and they just, like, they take care of business. They, like, get these babies birthed and, like, pull out the kiddie pool or whatever, all the different, you know, the gear and stuff and strap in. We're
delivering
a fucking baby.
The McDonald's barbecue plastic packets.
Yeah, you've talked about that, yeah. full of lube.
That they just dump on you. But it's just so funny. I watched a birth last year and it was crazy because they pull out.
That's a very special episode of this podcast where you tell me the entire story the way you told me at that bar one night, because that was pretty gnarly.
But it's crazy because they literally, you know, because everything's sanitized, so like they pull out these, they look exactly like sauce packets from McDonald's.
Like in the sense those that it's little, like a little cup with the plastic tear off thing, and you just and dump it.
They just like rip them off and like that's rather than because obviously they can't pull out like a tube of lube and like use it on different women, and it's a whole so like they have
oh,
to.
Oh, they need to be single use so that it's not
exactly
reusable. Okay.
So it's literally just like
okay. That was my next question: is okay. Why on earth is it that okay?
Yeah. So it's just like rip it open, dump, trash it, rip it, mm-hmm. as opposed to like. Yeah, a tube of lube that's already opened and it's been open for a while mm-hmm. and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, this really...
No, I mean, but that's what this is. But, what, but it's like... what makes it funny is to say that all these sort of accoutrements of baby delivery that is reapplied as like gear that they're, you know, like...
Because obviously one of them would pick up a packet and be like, oh, barbecue sauce. Yeah.
No, that's actually, I mean, that right.
Because that's like your chicken nugget. Like in the middle of it, they'd be like eating chicken nuggets, dunking them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's exactly what it looks like.
Yeah, that's really, I mean, that's funny.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, that you I'm sure there are so many jokes.
I mean, there's also like, you know, when you have to like break a woman's like water to like force her and you know to start the labor process if that's not happening.
How do you do this like popping a balloon like a needle?
Well, they have different ways of doing it, whether they want it to be like more pronounced or more like a slow thing, but like mm-hmm. of course you can have all kinds of gags with like just gushing like
mm-hmm.
you know mm-hmm. I don't know all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you get a couple funny female comedians that are like the team, and then maybe like the guy that drives the van. It's like you have like some dude that works for them that just drives the van for them and sits in the car while they do their thing and stuff. And
yeah,
I always thought it was
you have
funny.
Like the wacky. Oh. Well, I was gonna say to the anesthesiologist that does the epidurals. It's mm-hmm. like some like person that's just always like I don't know if they're like forgetful. They're just always
mm-hmm,
like
mm-hmm.
you know
the absent-minded anesthesiologist.
Like they come in to. And they come in. I mean, I don't know. Like if like every time he shows up on the floor, he's like, "All right, great, knee surgery, right?" And they're like, "No, this is the delivery floor." Oh, yep, right.
Mm-hmm. I always thought it was funny that like the sort of business of being a midwife. The word is midwifery. Do you know this? You heard that word before?
No, I don't believe I have.
I think that's what the word is, and it's like that seems so silly to me. Whiffery is such a funny.
That is a funny word.
Midwifery. Maybe I'm just wrong, but I swear to God, I've been told this many times and questioned it every time. And it's just like, no, that's just the word. I'm sure there's many jokes you can get out of that. Not that many, but a couple every once in a while. Just saying it sometimes.
Yeah.
Deliverables. Deliverables. What else do you deliver? Newspapers?
I mean, food, clearly. Anything these days.
I mean, everything's fucking delivered these days, I guess.
If you live in a city.
I mean, Lord knows I get plenty of things delivered. But, like...
I mean, it would... Okay, so we keep going back to some of our fave... I'm going to circle back to our Kevin Hart... The Rock combo.
Yeah, see this is where we shine is just the all the different the really like basic very... broad comedy pitches that just become sources for jokes for these personalities. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, because it's like those are just easy go-tos for this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, totally.
But you could have those two and they they like go and get they transport organs, so they're uh-huh. like delivering organs.
Oh sure.
And
oh, like the people that like,
literally fly with like a cooler with a heart in it or something.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. Yeah. That's a fun thing.
And so, but maybe one of them's a helicopter pilot, and the other one's like the mm-hmm. person who, and they're like a team.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what else this movie has in it other than that, but
no,
and
but
that
I've
could be.
Been
I mean, again, that could also be like our. Mindy Kaling or no or Haddish Tiffany Haddish mm-hmm. and like Mindy Kaling or Awkwafina and like you know whoever else it'd be like any two comedian people Kate McKinnon and Awkwafina
hell yeah delivering organs
and all the hijinks drop you know like by the way if you have like these big actors in it and you have the budget right you can like be like okay we have to fly a heart from Ohio to Cedars in LA. And it's like,
mm-hmm.
the kind of trip that is and the hijinks that happen from.
I mean, the climax, like the best would be if it was a like, you know, like a dick.
At the very end,
yeah, like that's
the rat with the reveal.
You know, well, because you could probably see them like, you know, like do a couple successful things, and there's the big important mission, and it's like, you know, I don't know, like Elon Musk's dick got bit off by like a tiger at a zoo or something, and then he needs a dick transplant, and so they have to like, you know, like they have a dick in a cooler that they have to. I'm just making that. What am I doing here? Help me out.
Well, or if they like transport this whole thing and then
it's just a dick for a rich guy that that he didn't even lose his dick, he just wanted a bigger one.
Yeah, I mean, I do know that like the old way of transporting, or like the traditional way, I guess, of transporting, mm-hmm. I mean, like they do use these coolers, right?
Yeah,
like so you could have a whole funny bit. I have a scene I'm gonna bitch that's just like it. You have like a Saul Goodman type,
mm-hmm.
who like comes in and it's just like top of the line cooler boys. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, it's great for Memorial Day weekend. It'll keep mm-hmm. your tall boys mm-hmm. cold. Mm-hmm. But I'm telling you what, when you're transporting kidneys, like,
mm-hmm.
I love the sale, like pharmaceutical sales people.
Oh yeah.
Like,
yeah. The guy that's got like the best, the new cooler that does it better than other coolers and this and that. And...
But in terms of like showing that these characters are at some point good at their job or at least smart, like there was this new thing, this video I saw where they now have this incredible, it's like the size of a rolling sort of beverage cart,
mm-hmm.
and it you when you go to get the heart from the deceased person,
mm-hmm.
you hook it to all this stuff and it keeps pumping, and like you have blood that,
oh, that is horrific.
You break, so it looks,
that's a David Cronenberg thing, right?
And
there.
It looks exactly like a
if
David
Cronenberg.
You're
playing the Cahoots drinking game. We just mentioned David Cronenberg again.
Yeah, you take a drink. No, but it does, because it beats and like you, I guess you just dump in some like bags of blood and it just and it's better. It's clearly better for the heart to mm-hmm. like be working.
Yeah, that's trippy as well.
And it I think transport time is like, you know, it extends transport time by possibility by like however many hours. But the funny thing is like they're using that machinery, and then, you know, like Kevin Hart unplugs a cord to plug in his iPhone, and it's like to his iPod, or I don't know, like something dumb, right? It's like, you still use an iPod? Well, yeah, like, man, I like to keep my music separate from my phone.
He's a SoundCloud rapper on the side, and he wants to play his new song.
Yeah, but he's like, you don't just use it on your phone? No, I gotta keep my ideas. I was like, something so dumb. And then now the machines, like whatever, they have to like, well, I use your, well, what's the Playmate coolers? Or like, you have to like, oh, the Styrofoam. And then by the end, it's a Styrofoam cooler.
Yeah,
like they just keep like, okay. They drop it out of the helicopter. They have to like.
Yeah, I got a couple of things. Well, that when you started that, when I was taking it a much more bizarre and surreal thing, where it's like it's a brain that they have to transport with the thing that keeps it alive, and then like, this is so weird.
I mean, the heart is so visual though, but yeah.
Well, but it's like the brain, like one of them starts to think that the brain is like psychic and is like reading their minds, and it's like becomes really trippy and weird. It's like the brain of a psychic that's like control. I don't know. This is like it becomes like a wacky sci-fi, like Hot Tub Time Machine sort of premise, where there's like a psychic brain that like Kevin Hart thinks he can communicate with that like is telling them not to do the thing. I don't know. This is like weird.
I think the way that fits.
That's
in
like ET,
a broad,
but it's a brain in a cooler.
Well, I think the way it fits into a broad comedy though is that you have that, but it's like, it's because they've been up for 72 hours, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's just because he's like is sleep deprived, because they have to, because he kicked the cooler out of the thing when he was like reaching for his monster drink or something.
Uh-huh,
like, his character's name's Kyle. no, but yeah, he like now has to lay in the helicopter, and they have to locate the cooler.
Mm-hmm.
And then
it's like over a body of water. It's like floating in a lake or something. And then it gets like,
and then it gets washed
stolen
up
by like,
and
a, like a duck
bear
takes it away or something.
Yeah. Something like, yeah.
I also had a thing, and so like if you did my other riff about them delivering a dick, but if you put it that in like more in the beginning of the thing, so it's not the climactic thing, it would be your it's separating. Maybe you probably don't want to have two new kind of cooler jokes in the thing, but like when you were first pitching me the sort of like huckster like pharmaceutical rep guy that's selling them on a new idea of a cooler. It's like it uses like liquid nitrogen or something somehow. And so they're transporting the dick, but the cooler fucks up because it's like a shoddy design. And it like freezes the dick like 2,000 and then it gets knocked out of the thing and shatters. that's my joke about the how a disembodied dick gets frozen by liquid nitrogen and shatters into a million pieces. And they got to really redeem themselves with the next job, transporting the heart or the brain or whatever with that thing. And then, you know, blah, 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 hijinks ensued. This movie sounds fucking great, by the way.
Like, I think it's actually really, I mean, all, what is that? What is it we always say? All
ideas, copyright, controlled, foods, incorporated, deliverables, guys. Organ delivery
at your door. Team. Yeah. Of the for our any of those duos we named,
yeah, Kevin Hart and
Awkwafina,
Kamal Nanjiani,
Tiffany Haddish, mm-hmm. Kate Middleton,
yeah, just the regular, you know, their boss is like Adam Scott or something,
it's yep.
Just close your eyes, imagine a grab bag full of these people, and pull six of them out.
Walton Goggins is one of the pharmaceutical mm-hmm. rep guys or cooler salesman.
God, I love him so much.
No, he's actually at the campground where the cooler lands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And helps them wrestle it from a dock or something. Yeah. Who else? This is fun. This is when it gets super fun.
God,
Obviously, who is it? Odenkirk that plays? Wait, who?
Yeah, he's also a good Bob.
Yeah, so like Odenkirk can be our cooler salesman.
Yeah. I mean, you know, many of them. I mean, The Rock's the guy who's supposed to get the dick transplant. It breaks. He's on revenge. He's on a revenge mission, so he's trying to stop them from their new thing to get him shut down because they, you know, ruined his new dick he wanted. I mean, there's a lot of this is great. I mean, this is a very get stoned over a weekend and write this spec. Kind of thing. This is a good one. This is like something
this
that me and my buddy Zach in high school would have tried to write and not been able to.
Danny McBride is definitely going to be the helicopter pilot, maybe.
Oh, sure. Well, I mean, or he's the vindictive dick recipient that goes after them. Is like, you know.
Yeah.
Like, you
he's like the work
my
from
new
high.
That new dick was beautiful, y'all. Like, yeah. You know, yeah.
You don't even know.
Yeah.
And then
fuck with my shit, I'm gonna fuck with your shit. Like, yeah.
And then maybe in the very end, like, it's sad because he's not gonna get his dick, but then, then.
Well, not if
the
he
doors.
Has one, he just wanted a new one. He didn't.
The
lose
doors
it.
blow. The doors slowly open. You know, in like 60 frames, and. And this is like in the, I don't know, maybe they're in like a hospital clinic or something where he's like, Danny McBride's posted up and you can see all the way down the hallway and you just see the silhouette walking towards you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Will Ferrell and he is like the new prosthetics guy in town. Like he's the, like the fake organ, like
yeah, the guru of
guy.
The, yeah.
Like, yeah. And he's, you know, got some fabulous wig and mm-hmm. a double breasted suit.
Mm-hmm.
And he's there to make everything okay because he's got
dick.
Yeah, you don't need real organs anymore, you know that,
so
right?
You can feel it.
Yeah, dad of my plums. Ashley, what it was, Ashley.
I never remember his name because he's just. But my friend Jet Steiger made the observation that he's playing it as though he's a famous wrestler and a businessman, Ric Flair. Like that it's like because Ric Flair is like a local businessman in North Carolina and like that the Will Ferrell's characterization seems as though he is playing Ric Flair and it's very funny.
I just love the hair.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Ric Flair famously has white hair. Yeah.
Ooh, boys.
God, I gotta watch Eastbound and Down again.
I can feel it down in my plums.
They got the new show too. Have you seen the trailer for the new one?
No.
It's Danny McBride's new show where it's like their family of preachers and it's gonna be probably pretty incredible.
Of course it will be.
Well, I think we did it, guys. I think that's a whole episode.
Yay.
We got a lot of deliverables. We didn't know at first.
Hey, this is it's turned out to be a very meta show.
Yeah, there you go. We did it.
Came up with. So I have one last pitch. It's two people have a podcast and they almost weekly, guys, almost weekly post the episode and it's called The Deliverables.
Yeah. They managed to get it in on time. this week.
Barely.
And the following week. F plus. And as many more as we can get to before we both leave this weekend for separate things. Because you're gone until what, the beginning of August.
I sure am.
So, you know, we'll do our
best, guys.
Living
in a swamp.
Living in a swamp. I'm going to be traveling the world. You're going to be, you know, running from Florida Man, doing the thing.
Oh, yeah, man. I hope our co-host Annie, our infamous,
yeah,
never, always absent co-host, mm-hmm, Annie.
Take a drink if we've mentioned Annie again.
Yeah, there's lots of drinking. Mm-hmm. The Rock and Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she mentioned, like, we got to make sure we don't get kidnapped by a fan boat driver.
Yeah, so this is a joke you made yesterday. And then today on Twitter, I just randomly saw a tweet that said, the headline is, Florida charter boat captain drinks beer, snorts cocaine, fires gun, threatens to kill passengers during 12-hour fishing trip.
Oof.
So, you know, Annie, I that's a good joke. I think...
It's also real, which I think she would tell you I wasn't kidding.
Of course she wasn't. And, you know, a lot of shit happens down there in Florida. So, you know, stay safe, kids.
Stay safe. Stay in school.
Mm-hmm. Continue listening for every episode we post.
Yep.
Okay. See you guys later.
Bye.